John chapter 13, 1 3, yeah, sorry. John chapter 13, verses 36 to 38. My apologies, my voice is going through. I think it's gone a bit lower today. Okay, if you're all there, we shall read these three verses together. John chapter 13, verses 36 to 38 together. Ready? Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. May God bless the reading of his word. Right, today's message is entitled, Peter's Promises Tried. Right, or rather, the promises of Peter tried. Right, we are going to look at Peter's denial today of Christ, but sometimes as we think about Peter's denial, we tend to focus so much, right? We tend to call Peter a coward sometimes, you know, how fearful he is, how he starts running away at the first sign of danger. But there is more to it than that, right? And what we have just read from this passage today in John chapter 13, it actually speaks about Peter's promises made. Right? Before he denied Christ, he actually made quite a number of promises. Right, over the past few days, as I was reading through the Gospels, one thing that you realize about Peter is that his life is extensively covered. Right after the previous incident that we talked about yesterday, right, they have gone through quite a number of things. Right, they have been able to witness the transfiguration, especially for the inner three disciples. Right, and Peter was one of them. And they have gone through many other things too as well. Right, they have heard many parables from Christ, and more than often, you'll find that Peter, he's one of those disciples that will ask Christ a question. He's the one that will initiate some amount of teaching. So we find Peter constantly working on it. But however, right before this passage, actually, in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 30, we find a very sad incident where the disciples, they were arguing amongst themselves, and scripture calls it, right, there was also a strife amongst them. They were striving, right, seeing who should be the greatest disciple of all in heaven. And that is so sad, isn't it? Because they have gone through years of ministry, 3 years under Christ. And at this point of time, after all this teaching, they have ministered to people, they have gone forth to preach the gospel, but yet, they still strove amongst themselves. Right? They were still unrefined in a certain way. And now, when Peter here, when he starts making promises, right, God is going to use his testimony to teach a lesson to disciples about what humility is and what promises actually mean. And I thank God for yesterday's message as I prepared to, as I listened to Reverend Johnson's message about taking vows. Right, it dovetails in so perfectly with this passage because right, if you look across all four Gospels, right, all four Gospels, they contain Peter's promises made. And Peter did not just make one promise, he made four. Right, four whole promises to the Lord down here. And this is what we're going to look at first. And then we're going to see Peter being tried, right, when Christ is at trial. And so Peter will be tried too. And we're going to see how he stands to the test. Right, there might be a bit of flipping around the Bible today, so please stick with me, and I hope that will help you stay awake too. Alright, so as we have read from John chapter 13, right, the first part of it goes in verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Christ is going to be tried, he's going to be crucified. And of course, Peter cannot follow him at this. Alright, it is not for Peter to follow. And in verse 37 it says, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. This is the first promise that Peter made, and it was an extremely huge promise. Peter said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Such huge words, isn't it? And for the promises that we make in life, God will hold us accountable for it. And this is a simple statement. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Basically means I can give up anything, even life itself, for your sake, Lord. Right? And it's such a huge promise that Peter has laid down here. And he doesn't just stop here. Right? And as we read on, verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't... Sorry, verse 38. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So in this passage in John, we have the first promise. Right, now turn with me to the next passage. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, right, verses 31 to 35. We shall read this together. Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 to 35. Right, if we're there, we shall read this verses together. Matthew 26, 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. In this short passage in Matthew, we find that Peter makes two more promises. In verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men on earth shall be offended, all men, because of thee, right, yet will I never be offended. Right, the word offended here actually means stumble. Right, this is where we get the word scandal from. Peter is saying, Oh, look at all these people. Right, they might be stumbled, they might be offended because of you, but I will never be offended. What great words again from Peter, isn't it? He says that he will never be stumbled of anything. Right, he will never. And the next promise that he makes comes in the following verses. Right, that's in verse 35. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And he says this again. Right, though I can give up my life for you, I will hold on to the very end. I will not deny thee. And who follows him? Right, in this verse we see... Sorry, I forced it for a bit. Yep. Alright. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Right, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. That is in verse 35. It was not just Peter alone who made promises. Right? Peter made four promises, but his disciples along with Peter, right, they made this promise too, that they will not deny Christ. But again, as you look at when Christ is being tried later on, who stays with Christ? All the disciples ran away, every single one of them. Right, and last passage that we'll look at is Luke chapter 22. Right, that's where we'll find the fourth promise. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. Right, if you're there, I'll read this for you. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Before we talk about Peter's fourth promise, one thing that we realize about Christ down here, Christ was still very compassionate. Of course, we know that God is all-knowing. He knows that Peter will deny him, but yet, Christ is still praying for Peter, that Peter will not fall, that Peter will still continue to remember him. And as much as he knows that Peter will fall, he prays in verse 32, But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted. The word converted here doesn't mean he comes to believe in Christ, but it means here actually to be returned. That means when Peter realizes how he has failed, when Peter returns to Christ, he prays that Peter, he will continue to strengthen the others as a leader of the disciples. This is what Christ was praying for now in verse 32. And of course, we know that whenever we serve God, whenever we make promises to God, we are engaging in a spiritual battle. In verse 31, it says here, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The word desire here is a word of strong craving. And it also has the meaning of begging for something. Satan was begging, right, to bring down this leader of the apostles. Right? Satan wants to sift him as wheat. In those days, when they wanted to sift wheat, what they'll do is they'll put wheat on this basket and they'll throw it out into the air. And as the wind comes, they will take away the chaff. Right? So Satan wants to destroy him, take him away. But no. Right? Christ is praying for Peter, that Peter will come back to him, that Peter will realize who Christ is, and that Peter will hold on to these promises that he has made. In verse 34, he says, And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Alright, and he said unto them, alright, this is the next part where Christ talks about other things after this. Alright, so from all these passages we see, alright, Peter makes four promises in total, and the fourth one is in verse 33. I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Alright, he emphasizes it again. Whether it is prison, whether it is death, I will follow you. We know that Peter is a good follower, right? And he makes all these promises. But one thing in our lives is for sure. Whenever we make promises, God will hold us accountable for them. And as Reverend Johnson has again mentioned in yesterday's message, every time we sing a hymn, we are making a promise, is it not? When we sing of the many hymns, when we make a prayer every day during our own quiet time, during our devotions, we say, Lord, make me a more faithful servant. We call ourselves a servant. But are we even serving enough for Him? Are we even serving for Him? Right? Are we being faithful in the first place? We pray for so many things, isn't it? Many for ourselves, many for our families, many for friends around us. All these things that we pray for, they are promises. But one thing is for sure, God will hold us accountable for every single promise, right, that we make in life. And all these promises that we make in life, God will test them. How do you know if someone's promise is true? It has to be tested. And in this circumstance or this situation when we are tested, that is when we know whether God's promises are true, isn't it? Right? And in our lives, when we have promised to the Lord, right, it is only when we are tested and tried, then will we know if we are holding on to the promises of God. And God's testing and trying, it doesn't come in huge situations, right? Sometimes it can, but sometimes it comes in everyday life, in our speech, in our conduct, in the things that we do. God is constantly testing and trying us. Are you being faithful today? Will you be faithful later on? Will you be faithful tomorrow? All these things, all that we have prayed for, God will test us and God will try us. Right? And of course, our promises will be held accountable. Now, as we look into the next passage, we are going to see how God will test the promises of Peter. Peter has said so much in front of the disciples. He has promised so much to God himself. Now God is going to see if Peter will hold to it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we will stick at this passage. No more Bible flipping after this. Matthew chapter 26. Right, if you're there, I'll read verses 57 and 58 first. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and said with the servants to see the end. So down here, right, Christ was being led to another trial, this time in front of Caiaphas, the high priest. And in verse 58, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and said to the servants to see the end. So now here we see the intention of Peter. He intends to follow Christ, just as he has promised. Well, at a bit of a distance, but he's still following him. And in verse 58, he says, to see the end. Right, he wants to follow Christ to the end. That is his intention, just like many of us. We have the good intentions to follow Christ. And that is all good and fine. But let us pray for faith, right, that we can hold true to our promises. Because our human hearts, our human flesh, it is weak. Right. So Peter here, he intends to follow Christ. And in the next passage just below, starting from verse 69, right, in between you'll find that Caiaphas, there's this little exchange going on about what Christ is being charged with. And when we reach verse 69, it says here, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. Right, from the other Gospels, we know that this damsel, she was just a simple, lowly servant, right, in this palace. And she just asked him a very simple question, isn't it? Saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. Simple statement down here, mate. Verse 70, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. So, it's a very simple statement. Oh, you are with Jesus of Galilee. So, he says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. First denial. We look at verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Right, so same thing, another simple servant came to him and said, oh, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Right, so two servants came to him, asked him a simple question, gave to him a simple statement. But how does Peter deny this son? In verse 72, he denies more intensely. And it's so sad, isn't it? And again, he denied, this time with an oath. And how serious is that? Right, he has made four promises to follow Christ to the very end, to give up his life for Christ. But right now, in his second denial, he made an oath. Oh, I swear, I do not know the man. That's so sad in Peter's case, isn't it? Let's read on. Verse 73. And after a while came unto him that they stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. So it's not like these two simple servant girls are making random guesses. No. They know when they hear his speech, they recognize him. Again, if you look to the other Gospels, you'll find that one of these people gathered around him was actually a kinsman of Malchus. Right, remember Peter cut off Malchus's ear? Right, so this kinsman saw Peter. He knows that this is Peter, one of the followers of Christ for sure. And again, Peter denies in verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And how sad is it? In his final denial of Christ, he started swearing and cursing in front of all these people. And what kind of testimony is this for a man, right, who calls himself the leader of the apostles, who has done so much for Christ? Sad, isn't it? One thing that we must know for sure, let us never ever be complacent in our walk for Christ. This was Peter who sat at the feet of Jesus, who listened to him day by day. This was Peter who represented the apostles to ask Christ questions. Right, this was Peter who went out, who did many miracles, who healed people, who did all this in the name of Christ. All of us sitting right down here, again, we call ourselves Christians. We have been in church for a number of years, some more, some less. But yet, let us never ever be complacent in our walk for Christ. Let us pray for faith each day. I believe many of us have sang all the songs, isn't it? Right, make me faithful, help me to be a good servant of Thee. All the songs, I gave my life for Thee. So many songs that we have sung. Be thou my vision. Praying that God will always, we will always follow Christ. All these things that we have made, all these promises, right, will we hold them fast? At times we might fail. And let us pray always that we will not fail Christ. Because we are only human. If Peter can fall, so can any of us. Do not sit here and think, just a Bible story. Look at Peter. Such a weak apostle. Let us never ever say this. Are we any better? No. We are just sinful men like Peter. We are apt to fall too. We can fall too. Let us pray that our faith will always hold fast. Right, Peter, as he denied Christ, he went far off. He went worse and worse. Right, and just to end it off in verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Right, these are the tears of a humbled man who knew that he promised so much to Christ, who knew that he could have done so much. He could have testified for Christ in front of his people. But he did not. He failed. He failed Christ. This was an apostle who made promises. And his promises were tried. And he failed in this trying. But however, we know that God is gracious. God is so merciful. God is compassionate. Later on, as we would look into the scriptures tomorrow, we find that God will restore Peter. He will encourage Peter and exhort Peter. And Peter will be restored as Christ has promised. And as we see, when Christ promises is compared to the promises of men, Christ does not fail. He will restore Peter, and Peter will in fact strengthen the rest of the apostles, and he will preach mightily for Christ. God's promises do not fail. Our promises can fail. Right? And how much have we promised? Right? Sometimes there's a saying that goes, isn't it? Be careful for what you pray for, because sometimes they will come true. Right? All the promises that you've prayed so far, right, you have prayed for service, you have prayed for all that. God will test you in it. He will give to you opportunities. But will you reject them? You pray for more opportunities to serve, to be able to reach out to more people, right? To be able to serve more for Christ. And now when you're in the work, when you're in the ministry, when you're loaded with so much, when the pressure is on, are you complaining? Do you want to give up? Right, when people come before you, these people they have prayed for, now that you can reach out to them, do you have the courage to reach out to them? Are you fulfilling all these prayers and promises that you have made to Christ? Let us do so. Isn't it? Sometimes we pray so much. We pray that we will give our life for Christ. But when the call of Christ comes to do this, to do that, are we answering the call? And be careful for what you pray for, isn't it? Sometimes we pray, I will give my life for Thee. If God is going to call you to the country like Africa, will you go? Right? We can pray all those things, but when it comes to us, will we go? Or will we sit there and complain and deny, no, no, I will not follow you, God. Will we say that? Let us never do so. Right? So as we have gone through all this, if we have broken our promises in time, I believe many of us, all of us have done so at points of time. But let us know too, just like Jacob, which we have heard about yesterday, let us also renew our promises to know that God is able and willing to forgive us. And let us renew our promises. Let us make a covenant with God. Right? And let us pray that we will be faithful in our walk. And let us hold fast and true to all the promises that we have. Right? And let us continue to walk in Christ for the rest of our days, to our very last breath. Let us pray.